Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first ever podcast for Distinguished Press. My name is Christina Stutz, and I will be your host with the most. And I'm very excited to bring this. This is going to be, hopefully, a bi-weekly podcast. We're going to have authors from Distinguished Press, as well as other authors that I found on the through the indie circuit. And we're going to have different topics of discussion at least once a month as well with different genres. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I am extremely excited. We've been talking about doing this for months. I finally got all the software completed and my laptop to agree with me. So here we are. And now we're actually a week away from a book I'm very excited about. My very first guest, we have Jennifer Gad.
Well, hi. I think it's 2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks then?
It's 2 weeks, yeah.
Oh goodness, time goes by fast. No, no, it's the 24th. It's a week from now, I guess. Well, 2 weeks.
I'll say it's the 12th, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a math teacher, so, I don't math. But I think that's about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I really should know that since I'm actually the marketing manager for Distinguished Press, but everything kind of rolls together for me, unfortunately. I think a lot of people are going to relate to that.
It's a short time, a
It
very short
really
time.
is. We are, and of course, we're coming up to our new release roundup. That's actually going to be on the 25th. You can go to Distinguished Press on Facebook and you see the event. Please join us. We're going to have games and prizes all day long. We always have a blast. So please come out and join us. And I know you actually have a big giveaway with the event, too.
I do. I put together a gift basket of a few things that are related somehow to the book. So it's got a really pretty teacup that I found. I loved it so much I had to order another one so I could keep it. I had some really nice Yorkshire gold tea. It's like the best tea ever. I'm gonna make some lemon curd. I made a locket. We have a copy of Oliver Twist and a little kitty. Little kitty, things like that, all things related to the book in a big giveaway.
Well, that's very exciting, and that's something that I know Katrina Taylor and I were very excited about when you first kind of approached us for this. And this is something new that we've kind of done that you've actually done all on your own. We've always kind of encouraged things like that. I actually made a couple of magnets and posters for a giveaway when one of my books came out last year, and that was a big hit. But it's not always something that's in our budget to do, but I'm really
Oh, yeah.
glad that you kind of took that up, and this is going to be a really awesome prize for somebody. Now, so tell us about the book that's coming out on the 24th.
Well, it's a series. It's Distinguished Press, so it's a series. It's young adult, middle grade up through young adult. The protagonist doesn't really know how old she is, but I would say around 12 or so. Middle school, lower high school. Emma is a little girl who is homeless, first part, as far as she knows, orphaned. And interestingly enough, once a month, she turns into a cat. So she is a werecat. In this world, there's a group of people who live in the more rundown part of town, places where they can hide, where respectable people don't live. And that's kind of where they hide. They live in the Warren of this city. That's the name of this poor neighborhood. And that's kind of where they hang out. And they're hunted, of course, because it is very contagious. So that's the worst of her problems right there.
Oh, that's very interesting. And how did you come up with the idea for the werechildren?
Well, two things kind of coincided if I go back, because I wrote it quite a few years ago, and my family is huge, huge, the hugest Harry Potter family, and that was a huge unifying factor for our family when my kids were teenagers even, and there's the character Remus Lupin, and so I have to give Remus a lot of credit for this,
Remus is
the
great.
Remus. At the same time as all that was going on was when the young adult vampire explosion happened in children's literature. And the two things kind of came together, I guess, somehow subconsciously. And I thought, you know, if I was going to write something, I think I'd go with the werewolf thing, the lycanthropy thing, the animal thing, rather than vampires, just so I could be doing something different. And it all just kind of happened from there.
Definitely, because especially there was a span of about 10 years where just about anything you turned around was vampire related, and, you know, True Blood was a huge hit, and of course everyone knows about Twilight as well. So this was something kind of refreshing, and I know you wrote this about, you wrote Cat Moon about 10 years ago as well?
I did. 10 years.
Yeah, that's... And that's great, because that actually gave kind of time to grow and evolve and kind of learn your voice as far as writing goes.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Now, did
at least in terms of, a lot of time to edit and rewrite, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you do a lot by, like, computer, or did you do freehand, or kind of a mixture of both?
Kind of a mixture of both. My undergraduate degree is in communication arts, and I was a kind of a journalism emphasis with that. So composing at the keyboard was something that I was doing long before, you know, a lot of people with, you know, when computers came around, before they would, you know, just sit down at the keyboard and just start typing. So I do that. But what I found, because I'm a teacher, and I have found, and it's still true, even then it was true, if you sit down and you got a group of kids and they're busy doing something they're supposed to be doing, and you're not really actively doing direct instruction, they're on computers or they're reading or doing something they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. If you sit down with a keyboard, with your laptop, with an iPad, the bathroom brigade starts. Can I go to the bathroom? Can I go to the nurse? Can I need a pass to whatever? They will not leave you alone. If you sit down with a yellow legal pad and a pen and you write that way, they will stay on task and not bother you. I don't know what the magic is. So a lot of it was actually written by longhand in that respect, because while the kids were busy, I probably owe that entire 7th and 8th grade class for that year anyway, a huge apology for making them do so much silent sustained reading.
Oh,
yeah, that's
kind
of that. What it was. Yeah, not going to apologize for making you read, though. Nope, ain't happening.
No, and there's something, too, kind of having the pen to the paper feeling of writing the book, kind of the old-fashioned way. My Amethyst Chronicles Winter's Kiss was almost entirely written by hand. For that reason, I still had,
wow.
Yeah, I had the notebook, actually, I kind of keep in a bag with me, and it has a four-leaf clover pressed in the middle of the book, too, so something that I found the day before the book came out, so that was something, I can completely relate to that, I understand the feeling.
Well, I found sometimes that I would get home and look at what I had written, and I had no idea, because I have terrible handwriting.
And you had notes in the margins, too, I'm sure.
Abbreviations, and I thought, what? What did I mean by that? I have no idea.
What was I thinking?
Well, and I don't have, I'm not an elementary teacher, so I didn't take that class in, like, perfect teacher handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So I would scribble things down on there, and it's like, I have no idea what I was saying.
I used to joke growing up that you had to have terrible handwriting if you were going to be a teacher or if you were going to be a doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
So naturally, that's...
I don't know where those elementary teachers learn that handwriting they have. I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, so neat and almost perfect. Or like,
yeah,
up on the
yeah.
Chalkboard.
I don't do that.
So how many books are we going to be seeing here for the Were Children?
Not exactly sure. Three at least, possibly four. I had originally kind of thought that I would, and the way it's going to work is that, like, the next book has a different protagonist.
Than Emma. Okay.
Completely telling an overarching story, but the protagonist is actually going to be different. And I had originally, interestingly enough, with the second book, thought it was going to be this one character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Now, 10 years have gone by waiting for this character to tell me what happens. And this past November was the first time I had ever done the National Novel Writing Month. I'd never done that before. I thought, well, maybe that'll get me off square one. Mm-hmm. So I sat down and just started writing and realized by the first chapter that the protagonist was a different character.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the character that I was kind of waiting on doesn't have any idea what's going on. So that's why there was nothing to tell, I guess. But yeah, it wound up being a completely different character than I thought it was going to be. And then once I started listening in that direction, it just kind of happened.
So do you think that's going to be like an overall arcing theme on here? We have Emma for Catmoon, and now we're going to see a new character for the second one, maybe even a third one.
Well, it's a character that's in the first book,
okay.
But a different, it becomes from a completely different angle, but the overall story continues from where it left off. Yeah, that's kind of my plan.
It's always,
that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I always love, because to me, the characters write the story. I'm just kind of the vessel with the pen most of the time.
Yes, very much.
And it always kind of gets very kind of frustrating when you're trying to listen to one particular character who may even be silent. Somebody else has a much stronger voice, so that's the story that we have to end up going to. And that can lead us into a lot of different directions in our worlds that we are creating here, too. So I think that's always been a very interesting thing.
Well, and I don't see that in that particular way. I mean, I'm thinking particularly of K.A. Applegate's Everworld series, where, like, each book, yeah, it is each book that comes from a different different character's point of view and telling the story. That one is more episodic,
mm-hmm.
though. You know, each story, there is kind of an overarching story. And I'm thinking more of ones like the Percy Jackson series, where it changes by chapter.
Wow.
You know, a different character with each chapter as the story gets told, and it kind of becomes from that character's point of view. I think that's the way that's done in that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was it? The last Twilight, I think it was told from two of the main characters, and they'll have to, was it Jacob and, I haven't read Twilight in a long time. What was her name?
Bella,
thank you. I'm sorry, complete brain fart. But it was like certain chapters was Jacob, and then certain chapters were Bella, and it kind of went back and forth a bit. So that's something if you can kind of keep straight in your head as you're writing,
yeah.
I'm sure would be a lot of fun to do. Last thing you want to do is confuse yourself as the author.
Yeah, that's a major continuity error.
Yeah.
Waiting to happen.
All right, so you found Distinguished Press doing the pitches on Twitter.
Yes, I did.
Now,
it was the sci-fi fantasy
mm-hmm.
pitch event in December, last December.
Now, did you send a lot of like queries to different publishers before?
Oh, I should show you the folder. you'd need a wide-angle lens to get that folder all on in the frame. I queried agents. I queried indie presses. I queried big publishers. I queried many of them twice, hoping maybe a different reader would get it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Had a couple of near misses, but nothing that really ever panned out. It's kind of an impossible task. You know, like you hear about kids, graduating from college, young people graduating from college, they can't get a job without experience, but they can't get experience without getting the job. It's kind of
right.
like that.
Yeah.
You can't get an agent unless you're published, but they won't publish you if you don't have an agent.
Yeah, and of course there's so many different websites and blogs dedicating to finding an agent, but it really is just, of course finding the right person, either an agent or publisher, having the right, everything has to be just perfect. You have to have the right synopsis, you have to have the right tone, and like everything kind of has to be perfect.
For that person, and you don't even know who you're writing for.
And the publishing world in a whole has really changed a lot, especially within the last two years.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's a much bigger, it used to be like this kind of little fishbowl, and then like Indy became much bigger. Now we have a whole ocean in front of us with different, you can
Yeah.
self-publish. There's just so many different opportunities out there now.
Well, I thought about, going the self-publishing route, but it was just so overwhelming. More than anything, the formatting.
Oh yeah.
I just like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
The learning curve on the actual, because I've done a couple of things where I put it privately in Lulu just to print a copy. Because it's easier for me to proofread that way
Yeah.
if it's an actual book. And, I didn't have it public or anything, but just kept it private. And it's hard to get it to format correctly.
It really is, and of course.
That's, it's like, I don't know that I want to work that hard for that.
And formatting is a huge thing, and too, if the formatting isn't correct, that could really, turn a reader off and not wait for the
Well,
update.
yeah.
And yeah, like that's a big thing too. So, going back onto for the Cat Moon, what can we expect really out of Emma, through this book here?
What to expect out of her? Well, she's
Without
a
giving
very,
spoilers.
yeah. She's a very prim, precise little girl. I wouldn't say unsure. Well, she's unsure a lot about a lot of things, but I don't know that that's an overarching personality trait. She's just very quiet, very precise. And of course, what she wants above all else is a family. And she has this dream of what that family is supposed to be. And for that to happen for her, she's going to have to let go of that dream because it's not real. And I think the learning and growing from that is going to be paramount for her. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So we're gonna really see a lot from her kind of growing on this, as this being kind of a young adult and kind of seeing her kind of expand or spread her wings, so to speak.
Yeah, somewhat. I don't know
Somewhat.
if it's more of a spread your wings kind of thing as much as it is learning to see things and people and events and finding the meaning in them. The true meaning, rather than what you assumed or what you imagined. It's more like that. That's kind of weird. Now that I say it that way, that's kind of weird.
No, this is certainly sounding like this is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully, so we don't have like a real end date for the series. This is pretty much as long as there are stories to be told. You're not really setting like I'm going to write.
I have a goal for where I'm going. I don't know how long it's going to take me to tell the story.
Yeah. Like I said, the characters write the book, so it'll be interesting to see what they are telling us as far as that goes.
Yeah. I'll be very interested to find out.
There's more than just werecats. There's all different kinds of ones that we're going to come across in this new world.
Yes. Well, when I was in college, I played Dungeons and Dragons. I'm that kind of nerd. And in the monster manual, you got all kinds of were animals. And I thought, well, that would be kind of fun to play around with. And it makes the characters, different from each other so that there are things that happen with them when this occurs, when the moon is full. That's different from character to character. The risk involved for them is different. And that became very interesting to work with.
Kind of play off of each other. Like, other than the werecats, and I'm sure there's werewolves, what other things can you are we going to be seeing too?
Oh, we have a were owl.
I love that.
There's a weird boar, and I'm confusing with the second book too. We've got weird rats. dogs. I don't know. All of those, certainly. Certainly not all major characters, but, you know, you hear tell of various things as other characters reveal their stories. Yeah, so there's quite a few animals involved.
I'm going to have to hear more about the were-owl.
Ah! Oh, is that telling? I don't know.
Well, I love owls, and that's actually, like, one of my favorites.
I don't know that it's telling. Not a major spoiler, but her friend James.
James is an owl?
James is an owl.
Wow.
Yeah. It tends to make him far more reckless than Emma is, so she worries about him constantly. But they manage to have formed a bond that a lot of, because this is so shameful. This condition that they have is kind of a disease model, I guess. It's so shameful that within the context of the world of the story, that most of them are very alienated, very alone. And these two have found each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a friendship, an alliance. Can I say family?
Yeah.
Probably say family, yeah. I don't know that she sees it that way, but, yeah, so that kind of happens that way, that they take care of each other. So they have something that a lot of other people in that situation don't have.
Oh, that's fantastic. So at least she does have somebody, even though she kind of walks a little bit more on the cautious side.
Yeah, yeah.
So these kind of creatures, or I guess I could say creatures, you can correct me on that terminology, but the weird children. What other are there predators out there? I'm sure that humans are wanting to kill them. Is there any other, like, other species that are after them, or maybe even some, like, inner turmoil fighting?
Mostly it's the Weirguard. There is a kind of a police force within the city that they all live in. And it's fueled by religious zealotry, which is extremely dangerous. I think we can all agree. And so, no, humans, worst predator, humans, every time. And so they are hunted, and there are some people who feel that that is their calling in life, to eradicate the world of this danger, of the disease.
So should we see Dean and Sam Winchester come out of the shadows?
I don't watch Supernatural. I don't know what that means. I know who they are. But
well, because they're
I'm
hunters,
not...
yeah. I was actually watching Supernatural earlier today.
The question, though, is, I mean, that they would see themselves in that way, I think, mm-hmm. that they are... hunting demons in human form, in animal form, whether that's true or not is the question.
Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, obviously, this is the first book that you've had out. What would you want a reader to kind of take away from Cat Moon?
A couple of things, probably. Acceptance of people who are different than you are, probably. And the notion that sometimes when your dream comes true, if you don't recognize it, it can get away from you. And it might not look exactly the way you imagined it. Yeah, I'd go with that.
Sounds great. So you are a teacher. What are you in middle school?
I do. I teach 7th and 8th grade. I'm a reading interventionist.
So how do you think that kind of led to your writing? Do you think that kind of helped
absolutely.
You out?
Well, and one of the things I first started writing, and I kind of printed a few of these on Lulu. The kids I teach sometimes are struggling at some level with reading, some, you know, at different levels than others. But I had a real hard time finding books for kids who read independently at a lower than level than their grade level, but who had high school, middle school protagonists or events or themes, plot lines that were interesting. Mm-hmm. When you're in seventh grade, you're not going to want to read Junie B. Jones. But if that's the level at which you're reading, I had a hard time finding options.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing a few things, and I, you know, as I'm writing them, I have to kind of keep checking the Lexile or the grade level on it to make sure it's not creeping up, because I tend to get rather Dickensian mm-hmm. with my commas and my vocabulary.
Nope.
And, you know, try to simplify that so that it's not, I wrote a couple of books that were, they're probably around a third or fourth grade reading level, but with high school, middle school protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
I started, and that's what I was shooting for. This thing kind of became another thing. It's pretty much at grade level. The longer story, you know, involved with that, I kind of let the vocabulary loose on that one. And because it is kind of a quasi-Victorian setting, the language mm-hmm. automatically kind of just started matching on that one a little bit.
Now, did you have somebody in mind when you started writing this? Or like, I want to write a story for this child, or did you just have that story in your head that you're like, I just got to get out of my head?
Much the way Harry Potter kind of sprung from J.K. Rowling, kind of fully formed as a character. That's what Emma did. I just created this character, came to mind, and I automatically knew pretty much everything about her, who she was and what was going to make her tick and what she wanted, what she was seeking. And I put her in this place, and that's where the story came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually kind of similar to in my Amethyst Chronicles, my main character,
uh-huh.
Ember. I had Ember before I had anything or anybody else. So I kind of basically created the story around her and just knew the ins and outs, and even some in the later stories, I think people are going to learn about her that may be a little shocking, but so I can completely understand that.
Yeah, she just, like Athena, sprung fully formed from mm-hmm. my brain, you know?
Some of them don't need a lot of explanation.
Yeah.
So, now, how can people find you online?
Oh, I'm on Facebook. I have an author page on Facebook. I have a WordPress blog. I have a website. I have, I even have a Tumblr. I'm one of the cool kids. I have a Tumblr. like the young people say these days, I'm on Tumblr. What I don't have is an Instagram. I don't take enough pictures, I guess, to have a place to put them
mm-hmm.
on Instagram. I haven't done the Instagram thing yet. But, yeah, those are all the places. I do have a Twitter as well. But everything goes on the Twitter, everything. And I'm very active in my in the KNEA, in the NEA. I'm very active in my union. So I get real political on my Twitter, so people might not.
And on
might
Facebook.
Not want to hang out there. I do everything on Twitter. Twitter is where everything in my life kind of mushes together.
And you get pretty political on Facebook, too.
Yeah, I do. I filter that a little bit. Twitter doesn't have a filter.
Twitter does not have the filter.
Well, and we have kind of this group of folks within the state level, because we just had the election for our governor. And you're going to get me started. and so that when we go to different events, we kind of live tweet the events. Mm-hmm. And then there's a group of HuffPo journalists and bloggers, and so we kind of share information that way. So Twitter is a different animal, but mm-hmm. so it's not just stuff about the books.
And you're very active on your WordPress as well.
I try to be. I forget. And I'll look at that and go, oh, it's been like a whole week. I better invent something. So what can I do? I forget.
Now, I used to be great because on my blog, I knew every Friday I was going to update. Anything else I did during the week, that's just extra. And now my schedule shifted because I went to a different department at my job. And now I don't think I've updated that, with the exception of Liza in weeks. I should change. I'll actually be having something up on here for you probably today or tomorrow. But now that I'm getting back into my world.
I started a series, and I finished it. I did finish it. A series of, this is me thinking of things to write, of like my favorite books. Because I was a child a long time ago. And so it's like a whole different group of books that than that things that kids are reading today, or the young people, teenagers are reading today. So I thought that would be kind of fun to kind of read them again and see how they hold up over, since the Stone Age, since writing was invented, which is when they were written. And some of them, it's amazing how, a classic book just as good. And some of them don't hold up as well over time. And that was kind of interesting to see that, to look at it from, like, okay, I'm gonna be a kid and I'm gonna read this book. I'm gonna be one of my students reading that book, and it's like, are you kidding me? No, they won't read that. That was interesting to kind of reflect on that.
Looking back at some of the even the kids, I'll be 33 next month, so I'm not old. But even some of the books that I read as a child now are been made into movies and everything, and of course there are things a little bit different. And I was talking to somebody, I think it actually may have been not last month's new release roundup, because I wasn't able to attend, but I guess it would have been in May, and somebody didn't know the Velveteen Rabbit, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
I love, this is my favorite fairy tale.
I grew up with that. Like, I
My
had like my fa
favorite.
it I wore the cover off just because of how much tightly, like, I would walk around the house with like my teddy bear and the book in hand. And like, that was one of my absolute favorites, and they never heard of it because it was never turned into a movie.
Oh, wow.
I was like, the ones what I grew up with, like
I can't even.
where the red fern grows. Like, a lot of people don't really remember that, but that was eventually turned into a movie too. That was one of those books I read every year, and I cried every time, even though I knew what was going on. Same with Old Yeller, and the same kind of vein in that. Where the Wild Things Are, like things like that that are classics that I found copies to give to my nieces. They love to read.
Oh,
And
yeah.
my best friend daughter, who's named Maddie, who I joke because she was born about the same time Mirror Image came out, that she took my name.
Oh,
It's actually
That
not,
is right,
it's
yeah.
just kind of coincidentally that we had that. But like, I would get things for Maddie and for my three nieces to read to, and that's really kind of, you give a book to a child and they just see their face light up. But there's a lot that don't recognize some of the older classics anymore, and that's to me a little
Oh
sad.
yeah, I did. Well, and some of the ones like the Bobbsey Twins. Boy, that the Stratemeyer Syndicate. That did the Bobbsey Twins, Nancy Drew, Dana Girls, which was also by Carolyn Keene, and some of those were, in the early days of children's literature, they cranked those things out. And of course, they're all, they all have pseudonyms. And the Bobbsey Twins, the first three books were just little tales of things that they did, and it wasn't until the fourth book that it kind of turned into a mystery series. And the ones that I read, and then they update them so that they're not, and this one was like in the Edwardian era, and I've still got the books, and they racist, really, really racist. And I thought, I would not recommend a kid read this. And I'm kind of wondering how they would, well, and not even so much in, the language or the words. There's no, racial slurs or anything, but the characterization of the two African American people who are, the driver of their, the handyman, and his wife is the cook, just awful. It's really, and I thought, you know, I that's not one I would put on my classroom library shelf, but something like The Witch of Blackbird Pond, that's on there. That's not ever going to change, that's going to be a good book.
Right. And one of my favorite authors is Suzanne Collins. Everyone knows her from The Hunger Games. I first read her as Gregor the Overlander.
Gregor the
I
Overlander.
love
Oh
that book.
yes. Now, I was an adult when that came out, but that is, I think I've got like the first six or seven of those on my classroom library shelf. Those. Oh yeah. And you know what? I keep thinking of, well, there's a story that I kind of want to do that, because at my school, my classroom is in the sub dungeon. We call it, we're down in the dungeon. It's actually very light and airy, but it's the first floor way down. And it's an old school. It used to be a high school. And of course, as usually happens, they get a new high school and they give the old high school to the middle school. And, underneath the elevator, when you're in the elevator, especially after it's been really, really, really raining, you can hear the water running underneath the elevator. And so I'm thinking, what's under there? What's under there? And it's got to be something. So I've got this story percolating in my brain of a group of kids that winds up down there somehow. And there's this world. And every time I think of something, I say, oh, no, Gregor the Overlander already did that.
Now, inspiration can come out of nowhere, though. We've all kind of proven that.
I gotta go somewhere different with it. Every time I think, I can do it. No. Suzanne Collins already did
just
that.
Just as long as you don't go frag a rock and find the hole in the wall. And
Yeah. No roaches.
No dancing puppets. That's actually coming into a movie, too, I heard.
That's what we need. We need some movie deals.
Exactly. I actually just made a joke about that in the book I'm writing right now.
I want a movie deal.
This is something out of a sci-fi movie.
Get Katrina on that, okay?
Hmm?
Get Katrina
on
that.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about that. No, I actually make a joke, and they're like, this is something out of a sci-fi movie. And originally, I had Amber replied more like a book, and then I just actually went back to change it to Here's Hoping. But you get these ideas in your heads, and sometimes you have perfect of what you can write out there, and some of the times you're just like, man, I really wish I can do something else with it. Like, if I had the ability to draw, I would have a graphic novel series, because that to me was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Kids love them. Kids love them.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to tell us about Cat Moon?
I don't know. That's a very open question there, Christina.
Anything you feel like you could share to entice our listeners?
Oh, what could I say? I would say that what I hope I brought to it is some sensibility, some universal issues around things that kids today are dealing with. The issues of homelessness, missing parents, disease, abuse. Those are very universal things that kids have to go through, and I'm a firm believer of putting good books in when kids have issues, to put a good book in their hands that deals with that subject rather than avoid it. I'm not one of those who thinks, well, that's too intense for a kid. It's like, kids live this stuff. They live it. It's not too intense for them to read it. And I think I brought some of that to it. These kids, the kids in this book, they deal with some stuff.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we, like I said, the book is coming out on the 24th in 2 weeks.
That's not a good note to end on, is
Yes.
it? That's kind of depressing.
No, it's going to be fantastic.
It's depressing. It's so depressing. No, it's
No,
not.
it's going to be fantastic. And this book is coming out. We're going to have it on Amazon and in Nook formats on July 24th, and probably be working on a paperback in a couple of months with that as well. So, yeah, you can find us with Distinguished Press on Twitter and Facebook, and we're going to have all the links up for Jennifer where you can find her as well and when the book comes out too. Thank you so much for listening to our first podcast. Feel free to leave a message in our comments and let us know what you think and ways that you feel like you can improve, or if you just hated me and we need to get somebody else to host. Thank you so much for joining us. See you in